Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Christopher DeLise, founder and CEO of Chicago-based Delta Capital Partners. Chris founded Delta in 2011 and guided the company from a personal investment firm into a fund-based enterprise. Alongside the company's CFO, he also evaluates investment opportunities as Delta's co-chief investment officer. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, John. Good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So Delta's been around for about a decade. You founded in 2011. Let's start with any changes you've seen in the industry over the past decade. There have been a few, so I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the excitement of this industry for me personally, is having been an early pioneer with Delta in 2011 and seeing all the changes that have occurred. Being a lawyer before that and working at big firms, you know, I missed the venture capital boom. I got the tail end of the dot-com boom. So it always seemed like when I was excited about doing something, I was late. And in this case, I felt that the time was just right. And when I joined, I saw what IMF and Burford and Harbor and others had done in Australia and London. And I thought that a slightly different model would work in the States. And so when I started, we were the first firm west of New York, the only one in Chicago at that time. And there were only a handful in New York, as you know. And so when I started, most law firms hadn't heard about litigation financing in the States. And those that had maybe had heard about it from their colleagues overseas, but really hadn't been engaged in a transaction. So I spent a lot of my time educating the channel, if you will, and trying to explain what the benefits of litigation financing were. On top of that, from the investor side, I went back to a lot of my clients that I'd had, including JP Morgan, and talked to them about why this would be a great asset class to invest in. And even though there was a lot of interest, most institutions were not at that time willing to pull the trigger and make an investment because it was so unknown. There was no data available out there. There wasn't a lot of firms doing this. And so there was both difficulty in sourcing deals and difficulty in raising capital. And that's kind of what happened and why Delta did some of the things it did and self-funded with my money and then at the time my silent partner's money. And why we sourced a lot of cases overseas is just because the market was in its nascent stage in the States. Other things that have changed now, right, or things that have changed in the interim period, you've got a lot of institutional money coming in, as you know. So foundations, endowments, private equity funds, credit funds, financial services institutions, large family offices, individual investors. So it's been a sea change over the last decade because now we're seeing several funds, right, at least two that we know that have over $1 billion of AUM, and you have several other funds with running several hundred millions of dollars. On top of that, you've seen now most Am Law 100 and litigation boutiques in the United States have heard of litigation finance or at least read an article about it. And I think if you took a survey, because I know there's been some done by various organizations, including yours, you'll see that litigation finance now seems to be much more mainstream. And therefore, law firms, large and small, either have partners or committees that they've put together to deal with sourcing litigation finance on behalf of their firm and on behalf of claimants. Additionally, what we've seen is, you know, there's more products in the marketplace. When I started, it was pretty much just one-off litigation finance deals. The market had not advanced to doing portfolio deals. You hadn't seen drawdown facilities for law firms. You hadn't seen litigation collateralized loans. So in addition to a change in receptivity by both investors or prospective investors and claimants, you've now also seen many more products available in the marketplace, which I think has just been an evolution of the funds becoming more comfortable doing alternative arrangements, and the desire in the marketplace from more sophisticated parties to make more bespoke or customized financing products. And then finally, the other big thing that we've seen change is interest in the industry by potential employees. When I started, it was very, very difficult to try and convince a partner at a major law firm to leave the comfort and familiarity of that law firm and come on board something that was new and unproven. So it took many years to find the right people and build the right team. Now, you know, not a week goes by that we don't have several resumes or people contacting us from law schools to business schools, from existing funds to unsolicited lawyers at big and small firms wanting to come into the industry. So that's made the sourcing of talent much easier than it was before. And then finally, marketing and business development. You rarely saw an ad or a podcast. Yours was the first, you know, magazine / media outlet to focus on this space. And now you see many conferences, many different podcasts, and marketing by the firms at a much greater level than you ever saw before. I mean, I can't get onto LinkedIn, at least for my my account, and not see one of our competitors or us with some kind of advertisement. So just general understanding, clearing up misconceptions, all that has happened. So a ton of changes in a relatively short period of time.
We like to think we helped pave the way for that a little bit, just a little bit on the media side.
Yeah, I think you have.
We appreciate that. But so you mentioned this evolving marketplace. How should funders be changing their practices to meet the needs of this evolving market?
Sure. So I think even before COVID and the economic downturn, there's been a need over the past 18 months or so to better address the needs of law firms and claimants. And that's because the one-size-fits-all model doesn't always work. And what we've seen is that, for example, some claimants prefer a credit-oriented product or a debt-oriented product as opposed to an equity investment. So as you know, most deals historically have been equity investments. We're buying a stream of cash flows or the right to receive a stream of cash flows in the future, structured different ways, but in essence, that's what we're doing. And now what we're seeing is that some claimants want to have loans, so they're not giving up all the upside. Maybe they're able to pay some interest rate, or some of it is accrued and some of it is cash pay. You've seen some people that want to sell interest in their claims or awards that have been rendered but have not yet been enforced. You've seen law firms, and not just law firms, but investigative firms, insolvency practitioners. You've seen them come to funding and say, look, if you're willing to take the risk on one case, are you willing to become my partner and provide some kind of drawdown facility or structure a collateral pool against my success fee cases and allow me to draw on that to grow my business? Or maybe I want money to pay operating expenses and it's not going to use specifically for funding a case. All of those things have happened with much greater frequency. And that's because as claimants and law firms get more comfortable with us, they're starting to view us, rightly so, as an alternative source of funding, right? Alternative to banks, alternative to private equity firms, alternative to issuance of debt. And it's relatively straightforward and not as complicated as some of those things. And so now, because of that, you also have claimants saying, look, in addition to funding my claim, maybe I want some money to fund the growth of my business. Maybe I want to pay down some debt. Maybe I want to take some money off the table and de-risk. All of those are legitimate reasons to work with funders. In the past, I think funders have stayed away from, no, we only want our money used for funding of a case or cases, to saying money is fungible. So if I'm paying money to fund a case, why can't I allow some of that to also keep the business running? Funders had done that when it came to things like insolvency estates, because those estates typically were illiquid. And unless you were going to pay the insolvency practitioner to work on something, they weren't going to be able to identify and pursue claims that you wanted to fund. So we're seeing that funders are getting in earlier, providing some seed funding. They're allowing their money to be used for different reasons. That's all, I think, a continued outgrowth and development and a product of people becoming more comfortable with funding. and looking for some different alternatives.
Yeah, and as people become more comfortable with funding, we are seeing the growth of the industry, and more funders are popping up, and you mentioned this previously. How does Delta set itself apart? This is an increasingly crowded field, so how does Delta set itself apart from all of the funders that are out there?
Sure. So I'd like to say that while there have been a lot of entrants in the last 18 months, and when I started, there were very few. In Chicago, it was kind of us, Longford, Gertsch and Keller. And now you see there are a half dozen in Chicago and some across the United States and New York. So I still think there's many multiples times demand than there is supply, but it is a crowded field. Whereas before, rarely would we do a dog and pony show or an RFP where you had multiple funds competing. Now that's fairly common. And so we've developed what we call the Delta Difference, which sounds nice. And we've come up with 10 characteristics of deltas to why we're different. And they all start with an S. Took a bunch of time to find words that all started with an S so that I and others could keep it straight in our head. But it essentially is the reasons why you want to work with Delta. And it's not, to be clear, it's not by disparaging our competitors, because part of what I was trying to say earlier is the more that come in, the more legitimacy in the industry, the more needs that are met. And I think that's important. So things we focus on are speed. So we find that many funders take months to get back to claimants with term sheets. And we're typically striving that within 14 days from when you complete our intake form with one of our professionals, we're getting you a term sheet. That's much faster than almost any funder. And we can do that because we have as many transactional attorneys as we do litigators. We have 9 attorneys now within the firm. So we can operate very quickly. We also have standardized documents and process. We utilize a lot of technology. Salesforce is our CRM. iManage is our document management system. And we have a whole bunch of other programs that are proprietary that we utilize and that reflect our experience over time. So our triage process, which is the intake process, initial vetting, typically takes 48 hours. And our time to close a deal is typically 45 days or less. Sophistication is another one of the differentiators, and that's because, again, we have as many transactional and investment professionals as we do litigators. So it means we can develop products and services to meet the changing needs. So we were one of the pioneers in drawdown facilities for law firms. We're one of the pioneers, clearly, in litigation collateralized loans. We can do deals and have done deals with private equity firms where we are purchasing residual assets in funds that are being wound down. So there's a lot of things that separate us, but I think the number one thing is focus on our clients. And our clients are law firms and any sources of deal flows. And we try to build long-term mutually beneficial relationships as opposed to pursue opportunities. So that means, you know, I spend more than 180 days a year out on the road, meeting people all over the world, attorneys, investigators, accountants, to educate them about why there is a reason that they prefer to do business with Delta, why you would want to work with us. And the same thing for a claimant. We can add value because some of our clients, including Fortune 500 companies, have asked us to not only fund, but to manage parts of their portfolio for them. Oftentimes, claimants and their lawyers recognize our expertise in enforcing judgments and awards all over the world. And so they'll ask for our money, but they also want us to provide input on the strategy that's used to enforce and satisfy a judgment. Those are just some of the things. On our website, it lists all of them. But I think speed, sophistication, flexibility, and focus on customer service are the three things that come to mind right off the top of my head.
Well, you know, let's turn to the current challenging environment, right? So we are facing, it's a very different world today than it just was a few months ago. So let's talk about that for a moment. How can litigation finance specifically, how can that address the needs of claimants and law firms that are now coming to the fore in this very uncertain time?
Sure. So you're absolutely right. What we've seen in the last several months with COVID and the economic consequences is that liquidity is tightening up globally. That means law firms are calling upon their normal banking relationships and their revolving lines of credit more than ever. Some of the smaller firms are not able to renew their lines of credits or loans with banks and more traditional lenders. You also seen that claimants that are companies or businesses are cash constrained, and so perhaps they're deciding not to pursue litigation or put the brakes on litigation. And so as a funder, we anticipated that, and at least Delta went to market with what we called Delta Liquidity Solutions, which is really just a fancy term for what can funders, what can Delta do to help address liquidity concerns. And out of that mainly has come more loans. So more litigation collateralized loan, which as the name implies, is a loan against a claim, a judgment or an award. So no other collateral. That has allowed a lot of firms which viewed litigation more as a liability in that they had to pay all these fees with an uncertain outcome to say, ah, that's actually an asset I can borrow against. I didn't know that. And we hear that every single time that we talk to people about utilizing litigation or a claim as collateral. They welcome that. And especially since most of them had never thought about utilizing litigation as an asset, it allows them to tap in or access capital that they otherwise couldn't. So I think more firms are going to be doing this. It's important that the funders respond very quickly. So kind of gone are the days where the funder could, you know, take a month or longer to get back to people. The firms that we're seeing and the claimants that we're seeing, they want answers or at least initial terms within 30 days, sometimes sooner than that. And so we can be, as an industry, we can be more responsive. I think we have to be more understanding. It helps certainly to have people on board who are accounting, finance, and investment professionals, some who are credit underwriters. Those are not traditionally disciplines that most funders have had in the past. And so very difficult for a funder without these disciplines to think about things like loans, credit facilities, or to operate and do the due diligence quickly. So that means we need more of those people and hiring more of those people to come into the industry. So I think we need to be more responsive. We need to be more courteous in understanding that they're in need and coming to us in need. And we need to be more creative in our products. And I think the last thing is we also don't need to be short-sighted. I think there's a tendency in any industry when demand far outstrips supply that there will be some people who want to take advantage of this. You've seen this with people selling masks as soon as the COVID virus, and they're selling them for obscene numbers. They're price gouging. And I think there's a hesitancy, or there should be a hesitancy, for us to do that, right? So that we know there's a lot of need for our capital, and it puts us in a better position to negotiate fees and arrangements. And it's fine if we are getting more at a total arm's length transaction. But I've heard of instances where the terms coming out now are not the standard terms, that they are much higher than what we would expect. And I just caution everyone that's in the industry not to take advantage of this situation. There's more than enough demand than there is supply. And if we're perceived as a industry that takes advantage of situations like this, that's going to come and bite us in the butt down the road. And it's not good for the long-term growth of the industry.
Yeah, very interesting perspective there. And definitely always better to focus on the long-term over the short-term. And I'm sure the demand is going to continue to increase in the coming months, years, even as we unwind from this pandemic and recession. Final question, though, I'll toss it over to you as far as those growth areas that I was just touching on, what are your thoughts on that? What do you see as the key growth areas for the industry globally over the coming months and years?
You know, we've been one of the few firms in the States that have focused equally on growing outside the States. So we now have people in London, Warsaw, and Hong Kong. And so we're seeing the demand for litigation finance outside of the core UK and US jurisdictions. You're seeing much more demand in the Middle East, much more demand in the Far East, and they're not isolated to just, you know, Dubai in the Middle East and Hong Kong in the Far East. There is demand everywhere. I just got some inquiries last week from Jakarta, from other parts of Asia, from Vietnam, a case that we're looking at, Korea. So the word is getting out, and I think at least for Delta, since we've always operated internationally, there's more of a demand for our products internationally than there's ever been. So we'll continue to expand with offices in Dubai and Paris sometime in the next 12 months. We'll continue to develop more products that look different than what they do now. So there's some discussions internally about us working to develop a solution to do defense-side funding, which, as you know, in this industry, is almost non-existent. We believe we've found a way to make it cost-effective and efficient and an attractive product, and that's something we'll be rolling out at the end of this year. And then finally, the use of technology. We've invested a lot over the last decade in developing some proprietary systems, some algorithms, and are now working with some experts in artificial intelligence, not to replace attorneys, but to augment the tools attorneys have to process a large number of cases that are complex so that there's more consistency in pricing, there's more sophisticated pricing models. Move to a different origination strategy where we're talking about having offices in multiple cities in the United States, which is a combination of consultants and employees, as other industries have, to increase the sourcing channel. Because even though we and the other, you know, funders are pretty good about sourcing, compared to other industries, we're still in the very early stages. Not Stone Ages, but we're still pretty early stages on how sophisticated to mine data and to market. And so that's something that we're spending a lot of time in, is marketing, technology development, international, and then our infrastructure to support our continued growth, you know, for the next 10 years.
That's terrific. There's a lot there, and that's really exciting stuff. Yeah, a lot going on. So it's really exciting times for you. Congratulations on all of that. And thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your thoughts on all this. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much. It was a real pleasure, John, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Absolutely, you as well. And if you're interested in learning more about Delta, you can visit them at their website, www.deltacph.com. That's charliepatrickharry.com, deltacph.com. There's a lot of information there. So this was a great podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time on the Litigation Finance Podcast.